in. It's going to be a great day. Hope you guys are ready for the day. And happy MLK Day to you. God bless you. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Keep the memory alive. And I want to thank you guys for being with me on the broadcast. A little special edition today. It's 7 o'clock. It's not 6:30. And being that it's the day that banks are closed, my wife tells me, you need to be closed too. But it won't stop me from broadcasting. But it might keep me from getting up and starting this thing so early. I want to welcome every single one of you that are here online, all 250,000 all over the world through social media. Thank you so much for being with me. Everybody that's here on our Facebook page, remember, make sure that you give me a follow and share, comment. Also, let's expand the knowledge that God has for us. I believe it's going to be great. Those of you that are watching on TikTok, welcome, welcome. I enjoy you. Thank you so much for being with me here on the broadcast too. For more information about who we are, just visit us on the website, all the different social media sites, and you'll be able to connect with us and be able to talk. Well, I got a lot I want to say, so let's go ahead and begin. I want to thank you so much for being with me on the broadcast, and I have a proverb of the day, chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Listen to this. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spew follies. It's telling us that we need to stay in line with our talk, the way we talk. Don't talk bad. Don't talk mad. Don't be angry. Just simmer down before you say something. When somebody comes to you and they say that they want to argue a point or something that disagree with you, give them a smile and tell them you love them, and then just talk to them to where you can reason with each other. You know, we need to learn how to sit down and reason with each other. So speak gentle and don't speak harsh. If someone speaks harsh to you, don't give them back equal violence with violence. You know, give back to them love. And when you give back to them love, you're going to talk kindly. You're going to speak well. And you'll watch how you will temper down their anger and temper down their personality. You'll discover something powerful with them. Good morning, Marinella. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The next one I have for you is Psalms chapter 8. Listen to this. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name on all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. The mouth of babes. So the topic that God is speaking to us today, for today, the Psalms and the Proverbs, is watch how you talk. Watch how you talk. Talk like you walk. Walk like you talk. Talk the walk that you do. Watch how you talk. Watch how you speak to people. Be cautious with the way you answer back, the way you respond to somebody, because the way you talk is going to dictate the way they respond back to you. Now, I've learned this with life and just history. I've had to learn how to be able to speak right, talk kindly. The Bible says that in the abundance of the mouth, or abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what happens sometimes when we argue and we fight is because that's big in your heart. That's big in you. Inside your heart, you are an angry soul. And when you begin to learn how to temper that, when you begin to learn how to settle your heart and not be so angry, and people usually raise their voice because they want to be heard, but a silent voice is paid attention to. You scream, they don't pay attention. They're just so distracted with the volume. But if you can learn how to talk gentle, and you'll watch how God will do something. God will do something with you, for you. You begin to speak to people kindly. Take your time with them. Listen to them. The Bible says a wise man is slow to speak, quick to hear. So start being slow to speak. Don't talk so quick. If they start screaming, just let them scream. They raise their volume. Just kind of go at it. Just listen to them. Just try to hear what they're trying to say, because chances are there's something inside there that they don't know. And you have the information. And in most cases, when you're quiet and they're screaming so loud and you're just looking at them, they don't know what to do with that. And you just wait till they run out of words. That's what I like doing. Just wait till they run out of words. You know, and inside me, I know I'm thinking, how dare you talk to me like that? Why are you saying like that? I don't deserve to be treated this way. Why do you, you know, those are things that we end up saying. And that may be in my head. It's no longer in my heart. I don't think about that in my heart. In my head, it's like, man, sometimes I've learned how to just, while they're screaming, look at them and watch the vein pulsate in their forehead. You know, I see them a little struggling a little bit. And I just think it's funny, you know. And then when they're done, what happens? They begin to look at me and, don't you have something to say? I had one person, don't you want to argue with me? You don't want to argue with me. And I said, no, I don't argue. Just listen. Just you have a concern, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. That's all I'm trying to do. You can tell me what your concern is. Kind of somewhere within all those words, there's a concern. I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I give him a smile. Boy, I tell you what, that's worse than slapping him in the face. Turns away wrath. God bless you. God bless you, Candy. God bless you. You be good. Hey, Jessica, be careful, Jessica. I can't delete you right now, but you get deleted. And I'm here for you. Just want to preach the gospel to you. Anybody who calls me out by first and last name, it just tells me you're an AI. You're not a real person. Amelia, how are you? Good morning, Amelia. God bless you. I pray that God bless you. There's a lot of people here that come on the broadcast. I want you to know they come from all over the world, and you just never know where they come from. And but of course, we have our locals like Candy. God bless you with that rice and beans that tortures me all the time. Yeah. Well, God bless you so much. And thank you guys for being with me. All right, so shifting gears, you know, we're talking about the Psalms and the Proverbs was talking about how we talk. The way that we talk is important. How we address each other, it can help us calm somebody. I want to tell you something, and I'm going to get a little, I'm going to talk a little bit about sports today. So bear with me. It's relevant to the conversation. Last night, Dallas Cowboys played somebody, Green Bay. And Green Bay was a more inferior team than the Dallas Cowboys, but they got skunked on the first half. And it wasn't until they put in their second string that they started putting points on their side. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. And I said this from the very beginning, but you know, the scripture says, whatsoever a man sows, that's what he also reaps. And we all know the management of the Dallas Cowboys have been the biggest challenge and issue that the Dallas Cowboys have had. When they bought the Cowboys, when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, he removed a great coach, just wasn't a coach that was fit for the team that was going to come in. The team that was going to come in, of course, you know, all the boys there, right? And they're the Super Bowl winners, basically, the Super Bowl winners. And then Jerry Jones terminated harshly Jimmy Johnson. And they were at odds for many, 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 many years. Well, this past year, they apparently made amends. Maybe the past 2 years, they made amends. And then Jimmy Johnson was now, for the first time all these years, brought into the Hall of Fame and the circle at the Star. And they made amends, and Jerry Jones made a confession that he doesn't know why he made those decisions that he made. What we're seeing here, and we can go back and forth and banter about sports, which I'm not going to do because I don't want to turn you off, but I want you to see this. What has been the biggest mishap and misstep of the Dallas Cowboys was sown in the 90s, and it's been reaping harvest all these years. Great team, great money, number one brand. They don't lack money. They don't lack the ability to get players. They don't lack all that. But the manager makes horrible decisions and puts them in a position to where they are right now. Now, where they are, will they ever win a Super Bowl? And it's been prophesied before by many naysayers, but I'll be frank with you. When you sow a seed like that, such hate, such disgust and arrogance, a statement that was made that Jimmy Johnson made is that he said he could put a high school coach in there and that team would win a Super Bowl. Very arrogant. The Bible says pride comes before the fall, and it doesn't matter how much money or value a team may be, but you're looking at the byproducts of the seed that was sown back in the 90s, and it's been reaping its harvest for almost three decades. It's been reaping a harvest. Now, the beauty is you have these faithful Cowboy fans, which I happen to be one of them, that sits there and still believes and enjoy. I don't watch football like a religion, but in Texas, it has become a religion. There's no question about it. I've seen funerals that are all based around the Dallas Cowboys, and people on their tombstones that put the Dallas Cowboys logo on it, and they say "Go Boys," and they put that on there. That means their whole life, that has been the sum total of their life, is that. And it's not just the Cowboys; it's a lot of sports lovers. They do that. And I'm not here to rebuke you that you're wrong, but obviously it shouldn't be a religion. But ultimately, what I wanted us to see was these words that had been spoken in the 90s are still bearing fruit today. Still bearing fruit today. Yeah, we want to see the Dallas Cowboys win, but the way I stand, I'm after any Texas team. You know, if Houston Astros or the Texas Rangers win, I'm excited. Now, I follow the Texas Rangers, and my other side of the family follows the Houston Astros, and Houston Astros have done some great job winning some championships. Texans just got finished winning the World Series. Kudos to the Texas Rangers. And so I'm excited about that. But when it comes to sports, I'm Texas all the way, either one of them. So Texans are still there, but I love watching the Cowboys. Cowboys are the team that I like to cheer for. We go back a long way, so I'm not going to disregard that. But very disappointing to see this game last night. Was horrible. But if there's anything you can take away from this spiritually, if the seeds that were sown of pride in the 90s have been bearing fruit in the early 2000s and now in the 2020s. And so I think for as long as Jerry may have his hands on the reins, that challenge may be there. And that's the problem that there will be. So that's enough for sports. Eric Garcia, God bless you. Amelia Banks, I'm doing fantastic. God bless you. How are you doing? No, Vida, I can only help you with prayer. That's what I can do. And that's the best thing that we can do. There are some that come on here and they ask for it. So many on social media ask for money and cons and so forth. And I tell all of my viewers, do not pay any attention to those that are requesting of support. Support your those in who you know. We take care of the missions field. Let the ministry take care of the mission fields the best that it can. And of course, it can't help everybody. And there's a lot of sob stories that are out there. And I speak a bit rough because as a man and a minister of the gospel that have traveled the world, I've seen the abuse, and I've been in the ministry almost 40 years. I've been in it long enough to watch how the shysters come up. So anyone that does do that, I cut them off. I can't do it while I'm on live broadcast. Just technology won't let me, but I do take care of that afterwards. So if you want to stay on the broadcast, be kind, be prayerful, ask the Lord to be with you. We're here for you. We want to love on you. Silver and gold have I none for you, but that which I do have for you is the power of God. And if you can just accept the power of God, you'll see the power of God move inside your life, and he'll provide for you. And you may say, but you've never been poor, but you don't know my life. I've been there. No bathroom, no food, soup. Ketchup soup we used to eat sometimes. Put ketchup in water with spices, and that's our soup. That's how bad it got. I wore not hand-me-downs. I wore clothes that were being thrown out in the garbage and had to sort through it. So if there's anything you can say, Vida, you can just follow. Hit follow anywhere you're watching. Hit follow, share, subscribe, and you can follow that way. That's the best way to be with us. And just listen to the word. That's the advice that I have for those that are in other countries that are finding themselves in a struggled position. Here in America, we happen to be, many have called, the richest nation in the world. It has already been proven that it is not. But it is a great country because we fear God. We still fear God. But the Christianity can survive everywhere. Wherever you are, if you hang on to the words of God, God will see you through, will prosper you, will deliver you, will set you up on high, and you can become the owners and the investors and the developers of your own community. You can become the leaders and the politician and the director and so forth. But you have to exercise your faith, and that's what I'm here for, is to give you the faith of the Word of God that you may be able to grow according to the Word of God. Amen? I want to see your life change and transform, and I thank every single one of you for giving us this attention. So I did something. I'm going to share something with you real quick. I did something Sunday. I preached this message. We're taking our time on Sundays talking about every book of the Bible. This coming Sunday, I'm going to talk about Leviticus, the Levitical call, and I'll be setting the pace this week about what is it to be in the Levitical call. What does that mean? But on this past Sunday, I talked on Exodus, and Jesus is our Passover. He's the Passover lamb, the one who helps us cross over. He is the blood that was on the doorpost. He is the parting of the Red Sea. He is the Ark of the Covenant. That's who he is. Jesus is a Passover lamb. Jesus gets us out of situations that we're in and puts us into great abundance. But you have to give your life up for him. And you have to say, you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. And when you begin to operate in this stance, God begins to take care of you beyond measure, beyond measure. And so this past Sunday, I had this great topic that we talked about. And I preached literally the same scriptures, both services, but they came out differently. And so I want to encourage you sometimes, you know, because we have two services, a 9 and an 11. You never know how the service is going to come out. Got 50 to 70 people in the first service and have about 200-300 people in the second service. And so I encourage you to come on over to Center Church Sunday morning from 9 in the morning, about an hour, and then 11 o'clock, it's about an hour and a half. So come on out and be with us. 11 o'clock, bring your whole family, children, youth, everybody. We're all set for you, and we've got you prepared. And we want you to be prepared with the Word, and we want to get the Word inside you. Amen? And we want to allow the Lord to move inside your life. But I'm doing a study of the entire Bible. This whole book is going to be, by December 31st, you're going to know what's inside this entire book. And we learned in the book of Genesis that God began everything. He created everything. He created man. He created covenants. He created new relationships. He created how to walk by faith. He created the establishments of foundations of what he would build his kingdom. Now, Genesis was the whole book of creation. And somebody said, what does that mean? Well, he created man in Genesis chapter 2. And then he began to create covenants when he shed animal blood. And then he began to create blessings with Abraham and multiplication. And then Isaac and Jacob came. And then he created a covenant with them, with lineage of children. And then with Joseph, he created supernatural provision and how he'll provide. So the book of Genesis, he created everything. It's awesome. And now we're in the book of Exodus. And I taught this past Sunday that Jesus is our Passover. Okay, so man keeps making mistakes. God began to create a plan. That's where the covenants begin to be established. So in the book of Exodus, they begin to walk out the covenants. They leave their Egypts. And every one of us need to know how to leave our Egypts, walk away from all our Egypts, and enter into the promised land that God has, or go into the direction. This Exodus is about leaving your problem. It's not quite entering into the promised land, but leaving. In order to get to the promised land, you got to leave your problem. Some people think, well, I'll wait for the promised land. I'll see it, and then I'll jump from bondage to freedom. It doesn't work that way. You have to get delivered from bondage, and then promised land will be right before you. And God gives you instructions because you can't do the same thing in the promised land that you were doing in your Egypt. Can't. It won't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So you got to get out of your bondage before you get into your promised land. So that's Exodus. So this Sunday, I'm going to be speaking in the book of Leviticus, which is the Levitical call, where God begins to establish order, priesthood, ministries and organizations. And you don't want to miss the book of Leviticus. It's a Levite book. And so that's going to be the Sunday where God's going to put it, your home in order. That's what happens here. So first one, he creates your home. That's Genesis. Exodus, he delivers your home. That's Exodus. Leviticus, he puts order in your home. And you'll learn these things and what that means and who is Jesus there. So make sure that you're there Sunday morning, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. It's going to be great. Let's see here. Amen. Lift you up. Are you praying for my sister? Thank you so much, Eric. Whatever you do, remember, it may not be a sister. It might be a false profile. So be cautious with those that are on there from another country, another nation that are doing that. Good morning, Joey. God bless you. Good to see you here. You caught the 9 a.m. I need to watch the 11 a.m. Wish I was there. LaBlue is still in the car hospital. Oh, Father, I pray healing on LaBlue in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can submit, the Egyptians were a bunch of other gods worship. That's exactly what they were. They were other god worshipers. They most certainly were. And God cut them all down. Got them all. Got rid of every one of them. Glory to God. It was something else. All right. Next thing we're going to talk about, Wednesday. Now Wednesday's in front of us. So from today till Wednesday, I'll be talking about Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I'm teaching on the word of faith and the power of faith, the ability of faith, the growth of faith, the birth of faith. What does faith do? How do you go from faith to faith? And this entire year, we're going to be speaking about faith. And we're going to exercise our faith. And we're going to put our faith to work. And we're going to believe that God's going to do something supernatural. And there might be a challenge that you have in your life, an issue that you're going through. You may be saying, why am I always here? You're going to learn. You're going to learn how to get out of it. And we get deep into the word and we get a chance to go right into the study and enjoy it. So it's not just a message. It's a Bible study. Sunday morning's a message. Wednesday night is a Bible study. So come on over Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Come be part of the church on Wednesday night. And let's get right into the word and get a chance to learn what the word of God has to say for us. The word of God has something dynamic for us about the word of faith. And we're going to learn some things about that. Amen. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And all right, I'm about to wrap this broadcast up. And I want to share with you a couple more things. We're still in our Daniel fast and we're 15 days into the Daniel fast. And so, you know, we're coming towards this is the last week, the last full week, Daniel fast. The last day of the Daniel fast is this coming Sunday. I'm going to do something special to be able to talk to everybody. And then on Monday morning is when I break my fast, and how I break my fast is very important to know. So stay tuned to the live broadcast on Thursday and Friday, where I'll be talking about how to break your fast. I want to make sure that everyone does it carefully. And remember that your body is not used to certain foods that you've been eating, and some things that you can do. Which what I typically do is when I enter into fast, I learn new foods, and then I decide I want to stay in those foods. And so, I'm probably going to stay in this category of the Daniel fast moving forward. I don't require it of anybody. I am recommending it to those that have found healing in their body. If you've been taking high blood pressure, by now you begin to realize, wait a minute, your blood pressure is on a different level now. It's not functioning the way it used to be. You've been taking high blood pressure pills to bring your blood pressure down, but now you're finding your blood pressure might be a little low because you're taking your pills and your body's actually beginning to receive its healing. I want to encourage you that after the Daniel fast, go visit your doctor, go do a checkup. And see what the doctor tells you. And you're going to find that your blood sugar is going to be a little different. Those of you that are diabetics, you're going to find out that diabetes is beginning to go away and what's happening there. And you'll find out your high blood pressure is beginning to go down and you're getting into a more normal blood pressure. And what's happening there? People say, what's happening there? Well, number one, I believe it's supernatural healing that God's given us. But number two is God's given us proper foods for us to eat that we had not been doing. We've been cultured eating high fatty foods and things that are not good, a lot of sugars. And those two items in itself are bad for you. And now if you can just add exercising to your lifestyle, it's a lifestyle. If you add exercising to it, you'll see how God will begin to change your body composition. And your body was designed to eat, but not to eat bad food, but to eat certain foods. It's given to us in the Word of God. At first, he gave us only eat fruits and vegetables, grain and nuts. That was in the garden. But then after Noah and the flood, he opened up meat. And the reason why he opened up meat is because there had not been a lot of vegetation that had been growing just of yet. It was, you know, everything had been completely flooded, 40 days of rain. And then some say it was like 170 to 200 days, almost a year, that they finally found the land. And when they found the land, they released the animals. And God said, you can eat animals. He allowed them to adopt meat in their diets. And that was when it was added. But it was only added because there was not vegetation. So that's why when you go into, and I'm not a vegan at all, though the Daniel fast I'm eating as a vegan, but I'm not a vegan at all. Look, I like my eggs, like my steak, like my fish. Yeah, and I like some pork and chicken. And it's just good food, good spices. It's great. But what happens is don't worship it. That's the problem, is some people worship it. I've been to some barbecues that they make more meat than they know what to do with. And man, they salivate over and they sprinkle it right. And it's almost like a religion the way they pivot their barbecue pits, you know? And so they end up worshiping it. There's some people that do. You don't know you do, but you do. And and I'm not going to say that's okay. I'm just going to say, watch it. Watch what you're doing. And so those of you that are interested in moving into a lifestyle, this type of lifestyle is not very easy. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not easy in today's environment when you like to go have festivities and fellowship and so forth with people. But there's a couple of things you need to know. Now, let me give them to you. Number one, not everybody's going to eat the way you eat. So don't go telling everybody how you eat. Just eat the way you eat. If you go to a barbecue and they got a lot of vegetables or whatever, then just eat the vegetables. You don't have to eat the meat. If they have meat, you can eat the meat, but you don't have to eat big portions. Have small portions, big portions of everything else. Mashed potatoes have a whole lot of it. Broccoli, all that stuff. Just throw it all in there. Baked potato, whatever. Just put it all together. That's fine. And if you know that they're not going to have any, bring some. Bring some with you so you can fellowship. Number two, when you're going out to eat, every restaurant today has a vegan sensitive menu. They have something that is no meat in it. And so just get acquainted with it. You can even go now to Burger King and go get an Impossible Burger over at Burger King if you want that. I mean, I personally don't like it, but if you want it, you can have it. There's a lot of stuff that's out there that you can do. And so you don't have to tell everybody you're a vegan. Just do whatever you want to do, but that's the best way of doing it. There's never been an easier time of our life to eat like this than we are eating right now and today, and because restaurants have all that. So, but then number three, make it into a lifestyle. Do what you can to be able to turn this into a lifestyle to where you can exercise and work right. You know, start off with stretching exercise. You don't have to join a gym. You can do some push-ups. You can do some sit-ups if you can. Stretching is it's a lost art. It's a lost art. When you stretch, you are actually putting tension on your muscles, which opens up vascular veins, which causes blood flow to your muscles in a greater form. And your muscles are the greatest consumer of fatty products. Your muscles are. So when you stretch, just stretching, if you learn how to stretch right, this is why a lot of people like yoga. Now, I know there's a whole sensitivity of yoga because it is an Eastern religion, comes from an Eastern religion, but yoga in itself is the art of stretching. And not as a religion, but the art of stretching. And as you stretch, when you begin to stretch out that muscle, what happens is that you begin to open up the blood vessels that are inside the little molecule, blood vessels, whatever they're called. And you open up the meat of the muscle and blood flows inside there. And the muscle begins to burn that fat and it turns that fat into muscle. Muscle weighs more than fat, but takes less space. So you begin to shrink. You might not lose weight, but you begin to shrink and you begin to realize your fatty content and the fat outlook of you, the way you were, begins to dissipate. So I believe that stretching is a lost art. So if you learn how to stretch, if you eat right, you turn it into your lifestyle, I believe that you'll make a big difference in 2024 inside your life. And I think a lot of these pills that we're taking and high blood pressure and diabetes, brain fog, liver pain, liver disorders, kidney pains, all of that will start going away. All that will do. Now, when you attach the word of God to it, oh my God, that's like throwing gasoline on a match. That thing's going to explode. You put the word of God inside you, put the word of God on your body. You begin to declare the word, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just declare right now that my body is healed. It is a vessel that's taught by you, and great is its peace and undisturbed composure. And you begin to do all that. So when you learn all that, then everything's good. All right, guys, let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God. Excuse me. Let's ask God to be with us. Before we go into prayer, let me go through here. If you have a prayer request, put it down below, and I'm going to pray for it right now. Let's see here. Alejandra, God bless you. I watch both services on Sunday. Enjoyed it very much. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you did. Eric, I had to break it because of work, but as of now, I'll get back on it. Also edited the first show, and I put it on in a condensed form, so it's easier to go through. Oh, my brother, God bless you, my brother. I haven't seen you here in a little while. I pray that God continue to be with you. Thank you for being with us. Psalms 91:10, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. I like that scripture. It's a good word. This is my first Daniel fast, but years back I turned vegan when this nutritionalist used to come out on TBN like in the year 2000. I remember that. And it's a good fast to be in. It just kind of resets. I like to say that, resets. I broke fast. Yeah, that egg, that steak, that chorizo, oh my God, was good. But now my pains came back and infirmities. Well, go back into the fast. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to pray for y'all, and then I'm going to tell you something about the fast here in a little bit. But let me pray for you guys and get y'all set up. Terry, God bless you. Good to see you here, my friend. Haven't seen you in a while. I pray that God continue to bless you and everything that you're doing. All right, let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends right now, and I thank you that you bring peace to Jerusalem. We lift up Israel to you, and we ask that your joy be full inside the cities, and you'll be able to radiate peace throughout the entire area. Now, Father, I pray for my friends. I ask you to be with them. We put on the full armor of God, girded by the loins with the truth of your word, and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, which is your word. And we take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and the sword of the Spirit to cut the evil one down to size. That we take the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, and we live by faith, and we live by your word. As you say in your word, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we shall live by it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask you to be with my friends wherever they go. Cover them with your precious blood. Put your angels around and about them and protect them everywhere that they go. Father, we thank you that you bring them home safely. And whatever they touch in their hands, let it prosper. And wherever they tread their feet on, let them own it, Father. We just accept it right now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, say amen down below. All right. I know I'm going a little longer than normal. Usually I do about 30 minutes, but you know, hey, it's a holiday, so let me go a little longer. Let me talk a little bit about different types of fast. My wife had this fantastic, Alejandra, God bless you. God be with you. You're such a dear saint. God bless you. Thank you so much for praying with us. My wife taught on the woman's meeting about three different fasts, which was very dynamic teaching. And I'm not going to tread on her message at all. But I just want you to know there are different types of fasts. And what a fast does in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, the fast allows us to hear God clearly. That's what a fast does. It the voice of God is clear. It says, when we're done with a fast, he speaks to us and we shall hear. We say, Lord, when we cry out to the Lord, and he says, here I am. And he tells us that he's there. And so that's what a fast does. A fast allows us to hear him clearly, not cloudy, but clearly. And we see the hand of God at work inside our lives. And so, my friends, I just want you to know that there are different ways of fasting. The first way to fast is pure food. Just drink water. That's no food, no nourishment whatsoever. No beef, no chicken, no pork, no bread, no nuts, no grain, no vegetables, no fruit, nothing whatsoever. You just drink water. And when you do that type of fast, the first way when you start doing this, try it from 6 to 6. Now, some people try it to see if they can handle it. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to. If you're going to think that way, you're not going to do it. I believe if I'm going to do a fast for a day of no food, it's going to be 24 hours, straight 24 hours. I'll find in the evening where I'll eat something on the day before. Then when I go to bed, I dedicate myself to the Lord. And I go 24 hours. I wait till not the following day at that time to eat what I can. Sometimes people do. Let's say if I do 6 p.m., let's say it's Monday and 6 p.m., and I eat my last meal. And then I fast all the way to 6 p.m. the following day, and I eat after 6 p.m. I have fulfilled my true fast, my one-day true fast, no food. Okay? I have fulfilled it. Then you can go to 3 days. That's what I recommend. Whenever you do a fast, the first 3 days are the hardest days, even when you do it like that. So you could do a 3-day straight, no food fast. It's very hard. After the third day, you're going to find out that it's easy. It's easier. So you'll be able to do actually 7 days with no food if you can stay away from food. That's the problem. If everywhere there's food being thrown at you, literally everywhere. That's the hard part, especially if you have children. They got to eat, you got to cook, and you got to make for them. How do you eat it? Very difficult. I get it. So that's why I say that's the first one is no food whatsoever. Jesus fasted no food 40 days. There was less than a handful of people written in the Bible that fasted 40 days. There's one person in the Bible that fasted 40 and then 40 again. I'll let you do the homework and find out who that is. It's a patriarch, just to give you a little clue. Okay, so the first fast, no food. Second fast is the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast is the fast of no meat products whatsoever. It goes for 21 days. That is a commitment of 21 days. 21 days. Okay? And that is to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. Hear the voice of the Lord clearly. The third fast is a cleanse fast. That's a 10-day fast. It's eating the same way as Daniel, but it's a 10-day commitment to reset your body. So it only takes really 10 days, according to the word of God, to reset your body the way it needs to be. 21 days allows you to do it over and above. And not only did you reset your body, but now your body's going back into what I call where it should be. Your body should be where it should be. Now, it depends. If you're morbidly obese or and you do the 10-day and the 21-day, your body's still not going to reach the level that it needs to be. Your body needs to be at a level where the doctors tell you, you know, and doctors kind of give you a scale. And let me tell you something. Doctors, I love doctors, every one of them, but they're going to give you a scale. This is where you should be according to the scale. But everybody has their own body composition. And sometimes, especially if you are morbidly obese, you got a lot of skin that doesn't get retracted back and that has weight. And so you're never going to reach that weight area. There's others also that have a lot of fatty substance that's in their stomach area, like myself. Will I ever have a six pack? Man, I did everything that I could many times trying to get me a six pack. It just never happened. Just never happened. Let me tell you. And I got down to 130 pounds and I still didn't have a six pack. And I worked it out. Didn't have a six pack. And I finally said, you know what? I'm just going to resign myself from it. And then I started reading articles that healthy people don't have six packs. Now, if you had a six pack all your life and you have a six pack and you're up in age, you're going to be healthy. But if you didn't have a six pack and now you go get a six pack, I'm going to tell you, you're going to enter into a place that you got to really work. Then you're going to have to keep it. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge. And unless if you surgically begin to remove the fatty subjects from your stomach, but you can get there. Everybody can get there. You know, I always tell everybody, I got a six pack, but it's just embraced in love. It's covered. And so anyway, that's the way it goes. And you can get it. You can get it. I don't want to discourage anybody. You can get a six pack, but it's just different than the person who's had the six pack their entire life. You know, I mean, I got a son that's very thin, very thin. And he's got muscles and man, he could get ripped all day. I've never been that way. Even when I tried it, I've never been that way. And I don't ever say because I've never been that way. You can't be that way. You can be that way because I've seen those that have been ripped when they come from this other area. But then they really have to work at it. I trust me. If I got a six pack, compare what it takes for my son to keep a six pack versus me keeping a six pack night and day because of body composition. And you can't change body composition. Your composition is composition. You gotta change the way you compose your body, but your body's not gonna be the same as that person. Like my son. My son eats like 12 times a day. That guy is crazy. He eats all the time. And he'll eat, oh, he's full, and he'll take home food with him. And 2 hours later, he's there eating it again. And I said, man, I'm so hungry. 4 hours later, I'm eating again. That's just the way he is. So Vidal says, I have a one pack. That's right. I have a one pack. Yep, there you go. You found it, my brother Eric. God bless you. You found that 60-day fast, right? Vidal, some call it a keg. That's right. I used to say, you know, I'm full gospel. And a guy came up to me and says, I'm intergalactic. That's what he said. David Fadias, good morning. Good morning. Good to see you here, my friend. God bless you, David. Thank you for being with me. Yeah, so that's what's going on with fast. So the three different fasts is the full food, no food fast, the cleanse fast of 10 days, the Daniel fast, which is 21 days. So those are the three different fasts that I recommend people to take. I encourage you to do it. Elijah too. Okay, Elijah, wait a minute. Elijah did a 60-day. That'd be new for me. Let's see here. First Kings, did Elijah do a 60-day fast? I don't know if you and I are on the same page, but let's find out. First Kings 19:5. First Kings 19. And they lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, arise and eat. Oh, that's just when the Lord told him, arise and eat. Or does it say there? Elijah's fast was angelic. Oh, I got you. Okay, it was an angelic. That was actually a break fast. The angel helped him with a break fast, according to that scripture. I'd have to read the whole context of it. Elijah's prayer. Elijah flees. I don't see what he fasted there. Afraid he rose for his life. He ran away from Bathsheba, but he himself went a day's journey. So this one day went by into a and came down and sat on a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is not enough. Now the Lord take up my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and behold, and there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. I remember that story. Man, I preached that many years ago. Oh, it's all rushing back. Man, I don't know when the last time was that I preached that message. That Elijah was fed by an angel. Elijah was fed by an angel. And I'm not going to get into that message, but Elijah was fed by an angel. He wanted to die. That wasn't a fast. Elijah actually, the king's wife or mistress or whatever they call her, came on to Elijah. Elijah took off running. He knew he was going to be in trouble, and he wanted to die. He said, I got to get out of here. I just sinned, or I'm in the middle of a sin, or whatever it may be. And he wanted to die. So he laid down. He wanted to die. Didn't want to wake up in the morning. And the angel of the Lord says, you're going to eat and live. And then the angel baked bread for Elijah. I don't know if you've ever had angelic food. I've had angelic food. I'll tell you about that one day. The fast was angelic. That's funny. That's so good. Let's see here. I think your dad preached, yeah, angel food cake. No, that's right. Angel food cake. No. David, what you got here? I have accordion pack. You have an accordion. Oh, you have an accordion pack. That's right. You got, hey, Vidal, if you're still there. Vidal plays the saxophone, by the way, as a professional sax player. Vidal, David Farias is a professional accordion player. So he says Vidal said he's got a one pack or a keg, and David's got an accordion pack. That's right. David, no, you have a 12 pack. The difference is everybody's packs are faced this way, but yours goes up and down because of the accordion. Get it? Bad joke. I think it's pretty good. Anyway, you got accordion pack. You got the lines, the ridges go up and down. All right. Hey, for those of you that just barely tuned in, you have no idea what we're talking about. Sorry, but it is what it is. Let's see here. Yep, it's beautiful, Eric. It so is. It's so good. All right, my friends, I'm going to go ahead and call it a wrap. But before I do, let's see. I prayed for you, shared Psalms, Proverbs. I went long, 45 minutes so far. I encourage you to go back and watch this broadcast. I'm probably going to trim this broadcast into different videos today and put it out there because they had some really good segments. The weather outside is frightful, but inside is so delightful. And it's not Christmas. But being that the weather is what the weather's going to be, there's a lot of people in the north that are having a hard time traveling. I want every trucker to be on guard and be careful. If you're listening to this as a podcast, make sure that you're safe out there. And please know that we're praying for you. We're praying for a safe return back to your home and that you'll be able to enjoy your family greatly in Jesus' name. Amen. And we want to make sure that no harm comes your way. Here in the Rio Grande Valley, it's supposed to get a little chilly, a little cold, and but you know, here in the valley, is not that bad. I think today it's gonna get up to my phone's over here wanting to do software updates and everything. And let's see here, the weather outside here in the valley is gonna get to 40s. And now, those of you who don't know, when it gets to 40s here, we think we're in a blizzard. And so, guys, it's not that bad. Just wear your sweaters and your coats and you're going to be okay. All right? And don't go crazy with your heater and turn it into the 80 degrees. You know, just cuddle up with each other, get a blanket, enjoy the movies and TV shows. Today's a day off, so you can relax at the house. So make sure that you just enjoy yourself. And those of you that are in the north, that are in the teens or in the 0 degree weather, God bless you. You hang in there, stay warm the best that you can. And for now, let's see, we've done everything. Oh, Cynthia, God bless you. Let me say God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the blessing. I received that. God bless you too, Cynthia. Vidal, what you got here? Have a blessed day, Vidal. God bless you guys. I want to thank every one of you for being with me on the broadcast. And you guys mean so much to me. I do this broadcast and spend the time together with you because I want to make sure that I put into your life. I told the Lord in my last days, that's all I want to do is I want to take everything you've given me and give it to everybody that I can. So I'm trying to give you everything that I got. Let you have all the word that you can receive, all the anointing, all the prayers. I want to make sure that you are blessed and it's my time to pay it forward. I'm paying my life forward. I've gone through a lot of challenges. I've seen successes and many failures, and I've seen how to do it right and how to do it wrong. And so I want to be able to give whatever wisdom that I can over to you so that way you can excel everywhere you go. And I pray that God continue to be with you and that God bless you. And remember, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, typically from 6:30 to 7 o'clock in the morning. We're going to pick it back up tomorrow at that time from 6:30 to 7, and then I start my day. I want to thank you so much for being with me on this special broadcast here on Martin Luther King Day, MLK Day. And I pray that God bless you, God be with you the entire day. And until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. I'll go ahead and take on the day. And I'm going to give you this little video about TVer. Remember to download TVer and watch the broadcast on TVer. TikTok, I'm going to stay with you a little longer. Let's see here. I'm going to play this video on TVer. Make sure that you download TVer. Make it part of your watch day. I do have free content on there. All our live broadcasts are free. But I do have subscription movies and shows and such that are on there that I believe will be a blessing to you. So consider becoming a subscriber for $10 a month, $9.99. Consider being a subscriber, and I promise you that you will enjoy it, okay? Until next time, go take on the day.
Introducing TVer, your go-to streaming platform that brings high-quality and family-friendly entertainment to your home. Watch live streams, teachings from TVer founder Pastor Clark Ortiz, and much more. For just $9.99 a month, you'll get access to everything TVer has to offer. Never miss a moment. Download the TVer app now and start streaming whether you're at home or on the go. TVer, one place, one focus, one simple solution.